Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time to roll out the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and the guy crying over there is Dan the Man. We'll get to that in a minute. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but again, like I always say, keep checking over there. You never know when something else might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, Dan, I know, you know, it was a rough night for you, and I need to know, have your tears dried from that Capitals shutout last night, or are you still scuffling?
It was a rough night. I couldn't sleep all last night, tossing, turning, having nightmares.
And I, on the other hand, advance. The Ducks pull it out. I believe it was 2-1. So they move on to the Western Conference Finals to face the Nashville Predators. Dan's Capitals go home. The Penguins move on to try to defend. They go to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Ottawa Senators. Dan, I heard the story today. I guess the story underneath the story was Alex Ovechkin was playing hurt the whole time. He had, I believe they said it was an upper body injury, and he's actually going to sit out the World Championships for Russia. Do you think that had a big effect on this series?
Well, I mean, what did he score? Almost two goals in the whole postseason?
Oh, sorry, it was a lower body injury. Either way, it was part of the body, either the upper or the lower. Yeah, I don't know if they have his stats in here. But, you know, it makes it a little more, I guess, sense on why he was kind of downgraded to the third line and wasn't playing as many minutes. Obviously because of the injury, the NHL, so, you know, they don't really tell us anything. But they think the injury occurred in Game 5 against the Maple Leafs when he had a collision with Nazem Kadri early in the second period, and they could see Ovechkin clutching his knee after that. Of course, they won't say it was a knee, and he needed injections just to play against the Penguins before every game. And I know, obviously, he's not going to want to make excuses. You know, he's that kind of player. But, yeah, this had to have some kind of effect, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kind of sucks.
It was really odd today. I can't remember which mouthpiece show I was watching. One of the ones where the big talking heads get up there and, more or less act like they know everything about sports. And they were actually on there talking about how Washington needs to get rid of Ovechkin. I basically think these guys should be fired because they're just looking to create some kind of buzz. They started talking about the fact that he's 32 years old. Dan, when did that become old?
Well, they always say in sports the wrong side of 30, right?
Yeah, but in hockey, those guys can kind of stretch it out here. I found a stat for him, Dan. He played in 13 playoff games. He had 5 goals and 3 assists, so he ended up with 8 points. He was at -4, did collect 8 penalty minutes, but had 49 shots on goal. He had 2 power play goals and 2 power play assists. So, not bad for a guy basically playing on one leg for 8 games.
Yeah, sadly, when you look at it, not sadly, but over the last 3 seasons, you know, 14, 15, 15, 16, and this year, he had 5 goals in each of those playoff series, and he was in 14, 12, you know, like you said, 13. I think the biggest down was his assist.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's tough because, you know, I keep sitting there, you know, thinking about it, and it's like, okay, you know, if they put Alex Ovechkin on the trade market, say the Capitals are actually, they decide they're going to do this, they have pretty much zero chance of getting fair trade value back, don't they?
I'd have to look at his contract.
You know, because, I mean, you're looking at a guy who, I mean, you know, regardless of what you want to say about him, he's still a top five player in the NHL. You know, I mean, nobody's going to give you that kind of equal value back in a deal. I mean, the Blackhawks aren't going to swap you Patrick Kane. The Penguins aren't going to swap you Sidney Crosby. You know, you're not going to get Connor McDavid for Edmonton or Austin Matthews from Toronto. You know, you're not going to get these kind of swaps straight up in a trade. You know, and again, we're talking about a guy who's only 32. You know, I believe Marian Hossa is pushing 40 and is still a pretty productive NHL player. You know, so there's obviously plenty of years left for Ovechkin to be the guy. I don't know. It seems like maybe it's an overreaction or it's just some guys who just don't know hockey and they're in panic mode.
I think it's an overreaction. But, I mean, at the same time, they have him listed on Spotrac and Hockey Reference at 31. So you're putting a year on him.
Oh, I heard 32 today. So
yeah, well, you should tell them to shut up because they're wrong. But I don't know who would be willing to take on because it's four more years. And I mean, it's only, you know, $10 million a year, but you know, like you said, how are you going to get this trip? The equal value, and it's not like the guy that I keep drafting from Tampa who keeps getting hurt. He wouldn't want to swap for him. I mean,
yeah, you know, I mean, you know, even if you get multiple players back, Dan, could it be? It's still not an equal trade, right?
No, not unless they can get another top-notch goalie. Kind of balance, you know, out Holtby. That would be the only way it would really,
you know,
work.
I'm thinking here, it's slowly but surely it's starting like we're going to run into one of these trades where, the, you know, a team goes, hey, I'll give you these three guys who play on our fourth line, and you give me Alex Ovechkin. What do you think of that, Dan?
Yeah, well, there's that, or there's the option to not protect him.
Oh boy, that could be interesting, huh? I wonder, boy, you know, I wonder if lots of, you know, he would be a huge draw for Vegas. And now with you got your in-law moving there, you'll be able to go and watch him play if he does.
Yeah, and, you know, that was something myself, you know, the Hawk, you remember him, and my other brother-in-law,
yeah,
who his parents actually, they own a condo out in Vegas. And you remember the biggest negative for football and hockey or major sports in general in Vegas was, you know, how are they going to be able to support teams like that? They're just a tourist town. And, you know, that was coming out of one of our co-hosts' mouths. And it wasn't me and it wasn't you. But, you know, the Vegas metropolitan area has really built up. And with it being a destination spot, especially for people here, you know, you're only looking at, I think, what is it, 40, 41, 42 regular season games. And I think they'll make a killing from the Hawks, the Kings, you know, and if things work out, they may be able to establish a regional rivalry with the Coyotes. And then I know there's a few Canadian teams that are out west that might draw some, you know, draw some excitement to go to Vegas. So I don't think the draw, I think they'll be more than capable to support, you know, this hockey team in 40-plus games with the locals there and then also with tourism. I think it's going to work great for them. But,
yeah, well, you know, the way I kind of always look at it, you know, I mean, you got to think, especially on the weekends, right, Dan? I mean, if you're, you know, say you're a Predators fan, like, you know, some of your relatives out there in Nashville, too. Dan has relatives all over the place. You know, maybe they're playing a Saturday night game in Vegas. Hey, that sounds like the perfect opportunity to go to Vegas for the weekend, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. You wouldn't think Nashville's in the West, but
yeah. you have to remember these things. It's very odd. So, you know, just like St. Louis and Chicago are in the West. You know, like, you know, the Blackhawks are one of those teams who draw everywhere. That's not going to be a problem. You know, and like the other teams, you know, like Anaheim, you know, Los Angeles and San Jose aren't that far. You know, they should do pretty well. I mean, people are going to come to see Crosby and Ovechkin and, you know, the young kids, you know, Austin Matthews in Toronto now and Jack McDavid in, or wait, Connor McDavid in Edmonton. You know, they're going to stop in to take a look at these guys. And, you know, I think they'll do just fine. And people seem to forget it is a tourist town, but there have to be people who live and work there to take care of these tourists. You know, and those people are probably tired of the casinos or whatever else goes down in Vegas. You know, it gives them an opportunity to get out and see a game.
Yeah, well, from what I'm told, locals don't even go to the Strip.
Right. Yeah, you know, they hit those, you know, because, I mean, think about it. You're probably sick of it. You go, what, once or twice when you move there and then you're tired of it?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean, locals don't go to tourist destinations.
No, I know I believe my sister went there a few years ago with one of her friends, because, you know, one of her friends knew somebody that lived out there, and, you know, they weren't hanging out on the Strip. She said she did one night, and, you know, they like, ooh, you know, oohs and ahs, and walked up and down, and, you know, she's not a huge gambler, and neither was her friend. And, you know, the rest of the time they were there, I think they were there for like 4 days. They hung out with, you know, the friend who happened to be a guy. So it didn't go over too well with the girls in their group. But they didn't even like the fact that they had, you know, boat tourists hanging out in the local spots.
Yeah, you know, the sad part, Dan, is Mr. Fantasy used to have a timeshare there. We could have had it made for, you know, Golden Knight games and Raider games and stuff. But I think he gave it up. So,
yeah, well, and I just got an update. If you, for your free FanDuel lineup, if you have Kawhi Leonard in, take him out now.
Oh, did they pull him?
Yeah.
They're going to rest him for game seven, for possible game seven. So, but I pulled up some predictions here, Dan. The, you know, the Mickey Mouse site rounds up their hockey experts and they make their predictions, even though the only real hockey expert they have is Barry Melrose. I might count Linda Cohn in that. They have one guy picking Ottawa to get by Pittsburgh. And they also have Linda Cohn, oddly enough, is the only person picking my Anaheim Ducks to move on. So, you know what? I was kind of discussing it. Somehow I got a new friend at work who's a hockey fan. I was wearing the Patrick Kane shirt you got me for Christmas, and he decided he wanted to be my friend because he saw the shirt. So he was talking to me about hockey today, and he's wondering, and I got to ask you, Dan, does Ottawa even win a game against Pittsburgh? Is it going to be one of those series?
I mean, the last time you asked me that was for the NBA, and Toronto didn't win a game. So I don't know if I'm the jinx. But I mean, it all depends on Fleury and how hot he is.
Yeah, you know, and I guess you got to wonder if maybe, I mean, Pittsburgh is coming off a very stressful seven-game series against, you know, what was the best regular season team in the NHL. Maybe there's a little bit of fatigue and Ottawa could capitalize early and, you know, maybe steal if maybe game one, if not game two.
It's all unlikely. Kind of well.
You know, and we do have, you know, the you know, there's not a huge break in the NHL either, Dan. They get one day. Anaheim gets one day off, and they're right back to work. Tomorrow night they're hosting Nashville. At least they don't have to go anywhere. They get to stay home. The travel would stink. But, yeah, it's an 8 o'clock game on the NBC Sports Network tomorrow. Pittsburgh got the benefit of 2 days off because they wanted them on primetime, obviously, on the actual NBC network. Game one is Saturday at 6 o'clock against Ottawa. So, yeah, there's, you know, unlike the NBA where we hear LeBron cry constantly about he needs his rest, the NHL guys are going right back to work.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, technically round two of the NBA, that I think it's Tuesday, if they go seven.
Yeah, is that the, yeah, I didn't, you know, it seems like it's been a month since the Cavaliers played a game. I think they, have they been off a week yet?
So,
you know, just those, you know, one of those fun scheduling quirks for good old, you know, good old basketball. And they, you know, and again, they wonder why I get so, I don't know, disingenuous with it or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, it's a nightmare to try to deal with scheduling and any of the other crap that seems to go on with it. So,
and I pulled up Flurry's stats for this so far, and he started 11, but he's played in 12 games. He's got an 8-4 record. This is what I thought was huge. You know, he gave up 31 goals, it looks like. Maybe I'm wrong, but his save percentage is .927 right now. And he's played in 729 minutes. So, I mean, you're looking at a guy who quite possibly, you know, the Senators, you know, with that save percentage, I mean, in four games, in all likelihood, the Senators are lucky if they can get in two goals.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because, you know, you look at it last night, and, I mean, obviously, he beat a great team last night. You know, so you got to kind of sit around and wonder now, how does, you know, a team like Ottawa that doesn't have that kind of offense, you know, how are they going to compete? You know, how are they going to fit in against him? Yeah, it could be, you never know. Maybe it'll be the case where Ottawa is just so underrated, you know, they sneak in and, you know, steal a game or maybe even two. I'm not going to go out on a limb or anything and say Ottawa's going to win the series because I just don't see that happening unless Crosby manages to get hurt again, then I could possibly see, you know, Ottawa finding a way to sneak in and take a win, to win the series. But, yeah, other than that, I don't see it happening.
But oddly, that didn't really even seem to affect as much as I thought it would.
Yeah, you know, they still managed to play really well. So, you know, you wonder, you know, how that stuff kind of works for them or, you know, how it goes. I mean, you know, and I know you know, I don't want to really ignore the Western Conference series, Dan. I know we spent a lot of time on Pittsburgh and Washington and how Pittsburgh will do moving on. But, I, you know, I got to tell you, I haven't seen enough of these teams. You know, like, obviously we saw all of the Predators in round one because they were playing, you know, the Blackhawks here locally. Other than that, I mean, these damn games start so late being Western Conference games, I don't get to see them. You know, it's like I, you know, I might catch a highlight here or there. The only thing I found out today was they fined Patrick Subban $2,000 for embellishing on something. I don't know what he did. I'm guessing it was a penalty or something. So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, it's, you know, it's so tough to catch up with those.
Yeah, you're
so,
right.
You know, there was some other. Yeah, you know, so, you know, like last, like I said, last I didn't see a minute of that game last night. But you know, locally there was a little hockey news, Dan. I don't know if you caught this one on one of your updates, but the Blackhawks signed Richard Ponick for a 2-year extension. You know, he broke out and had a really good year for the Blackhawks, so they agreed with him for 2 more years as, you know, something kind of locally here. And, you know, former goalie Pat Darling is apparently going to be given a chance to be the number one guy in Carolina. You know, he was dealt there, I believe, for a draft pick, might have been third round earlier in the offseason. They're talking about, like, he's going to get a chance to start, which is something that probably would have never happened here with the Blackhawks with Corey Crawford there. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah. Well, Carolina's a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to see how they, you know, if they improve or what the offseason holds for these guys. So, but, you know, Dan, I, you know, maybe you don't have the answer for this, or I you know, I was confused, but I saw today it came out that the NFL denied Josh Gordon's reinstatement. And I had already thought they reinstated him last year, and then he went into rehab. Did they suspend him again? And I missed it. I'm just so used to this guy being suspended.
I don't even know.
So, yeah, I was just really confused. They did say he could submit for reinstatement in the fall. So he could still get in before the regular season actually started. I don't know. I don't think he's had any other issues. I know he hasn't failed a drug test or anything. They would have publicly shamed him for that and dragged him through the square, you know, the town square, if he had done that. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just weird when I saw, I didn't realize he was still technically suspended.
Yeah, I mean, I got to ask you, though, I don't have his whole background or know that much about him aside from why he's been suspended so many times. Has he suffered major injuries in his career, you know, be it whenever he played in college and then any concussion issues? Or...
I don't believe so. You know, nothing major, you know, like that. So I, you know, it's just, you know, what's the best way to say it? I guess he just likes to smoke weed. So, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, the odd part is he's only 26. I'm looking here to see if there's any kind of injury related thing in his history, but yeah, it doesn't. You know, he got a DUI back in 2015. That was about the extent there. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's any real injury history. I mean, to be fair, he's only played, you know, he played all of 2012. He played 14 games in 2013, and then he only played 5 games in 2014. He was suspended. So, yeah, he really hasn't played that much. 35 games, 3 years. Obviously, he hasn't played since 2014. So, yeah, he should be healthy.
back last year, and you go to training camp in preseason, but before regular season began, and this is just completely baffling to me. But then again, it is Goodell, judge, jury, executioner, and the NFL. He entered rehab, so then he was placed on indefinite suspension again.
Okay.
But I mean, again, like I said, it's Goodell and his, you know, judge, jury, execution style, which I don't understand. He's trying to do something to better himself, so he gets put on the suspension list again. I mean, wasn't there like an exempt list that was less harsh though? I think it's kind of bogus. But then again, what they try to do in the years of litigation with Tom Brady, I mean, in 1 minute.
No. And oddly, Orton actually had an incident in college, Dan, back in 2010. He and a teammate by the name of Willie Jefferson were found asleep at Taco Bell drive-thru. And sure enough, when the cops showed up, there was marijuana in the car. So, and then Gordon ended up getting suspended indefinitely for failing a drug test because, as you guessed it, he tested positive for marijuana. So. You know, just one of those guys. But I did see, you know, Dan, I'm realizing that your day isn't going real well here. You know, you had the Capitals suffered a tough loss. And then I'm seeing here in the little highlight that the Bears have released Eddie Royal after 2 years. I think you had him both years he was a Bear, didn't you, in fantasy?
I think so. He was one of my, you know, if they ever threw to anyone else besides one guy, he could have been that guy. But I think when he gets picked up by the Patriots or, you know, whatever team can take him now for free, I mean, you're not going to have to give up anything to get this guy. You're going to have a nice addition to your wide receiver roster.
Yeah, and, you know, he did suffer quite a few injuries while he was here. You know, he just didn't have good luck. It seemed like he picked up an injury just about every other week. And, so sometimes it's just like that with guys. You know, you go places and you think it's going to be a great fit. Like when he came in, I thought, man, you know, he's the perfect secondary guy for Alshon Jeffries to work with Jake Butler. And, man, it just didn't work with him here for whatever reason. But, yeah, I think he's still talented enough to help a decent football team.
Well, I mean, I think what everyone overlooks is the fact that Alshon Jeffries was Alshon Jeffries because of Brandon Marshall.
Yes.
He's not a number one.
No, we've been saying that here for how long?
Yeah, I mean, he's made some spectacular catches, and I think those big hands really help it out. But, I mean, even to that effect, he's no Gordon Beckham.
You mean Odell Beckham?
Sorry, Al.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like, it took me a minute. I'm like, wait, Gordon Beckham? Oh, wait a minute. Okay. but I did get a laugh out of this one, Dan. Apparently, I didn't even realize they did that in the NFL, but they actually have released the point spreads for every game of the season. And oddly, as weird as this sounds, the Patriots are favorite in every one of their 16 games this year, Dan. Do you think they go 16-0?
That would be pretty cool. I mean, but does that mean you don't bet on them because you're not going to make any money?
Well, you know, you're betting the spread, so you would have to bet the spread right, you know, when they're going to cover, when they're not going to cover, you know, stuff like that. So it would be tough. I did hear a guy say he was just going to bet against them every week and hope they finally lose one, but I'm not sure if that's the best betting strategy.
No, that was like the guy I watched playing roulette. He did about 15 rounds and he put a chip on the number and a chip on all four corners, and he lost every time.
Yeah, you know, it's like that guy who sits at the slot machine all day and it doesn't pay off, and then the next that person sits down and wins on the first hole. So that would be me. I would be the guy who would spend all day there and wouldn't win anything, and then Dan would walk in, sit down, give it one shot, and he'd win the whole damn thing. So
yeah, right. I think that would be Mr. Fantasy who would do that.
It might be. You know, I know I'm just you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm just not lucky. You know, it's just one of those things. So but, you know, we'll have to see. But now Dan did mention earlier, in case you weren't listening, Kawhi Leonard, or you tuned in late, Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out tonight for game six. You know, it's Spurs and Rockets tonight. So if you're, you know, like Dan mentioned, if you have him in your FanDuel lineup, we'll get him out. You know, if you have him, you know, anywhere, I'm not sure if there's, you know, much else actually going on with it. But now with Leonard out, Dan, do you expect the Rockets to make this a seven-game series?
I mean, I wouldn't expect it. I think their chances have increased. But, I mean, I thought this series was over, you know, 2 games ago in the Rockets' favor.
Yeah, it's been a very odd type of series, as you call it, you know, where it seems as though, you know, Houston has had their chances, and they just haven't gotten the job done. And, you know, you just wonder in the end if that's going to cost them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Harden had an unbelievable night the other night. But, you know, I seen someone post, like, his turnovers kind of was all nine of them. I'm sure just that alone is what lost the game. I love how they, like, put it all on one guy. But, I mean, you've got your best player putting up probably the biggest numbers he could, and when you don't have the rest of your team kind of helping out, it just doesn't turn out right. And then you got, as mentioned, you know, how do you not beat the other team when they're down Tony Parker and then Kawhi Leonard's supposed to be injured? Yeah, he still had for a guy who was, you know, injured or hurt, he played a really good game.
Yeah, you know, it should make for an interesting game tonight. You know, the Spurs are, you know, I guess I almost want to call them unpredictable. You know, I'm almost not surprised they're holding Kawhi out. I saw him warm up, and he actually looked pretty good. But, you know, I mean, this is, you know, I mean, they're notorious for resting guys during the year. I wouldn't be surprised if they're holding him out just in case, you know, there's a game seven and they want him 100% for it. You know, that would definitely be thing, you know, they would do. Because I think, you know, if it goes to game seven, Dan, they don't play again till Sunday. So, you know, he's got obviously tonight, Friday, and Saturday. He'll have 3 full days to get treatment and rest before a game seven if it's necessary.
Well, and then I don't think the conference starts until, like, Wednesday or Thursday. So if he doesn't play,
yeah,
then he's got another three days or so.
Yeah, so, yeah, he would get even a little more break if they do move on. To be fair, there's no guarantee, you know, they're going anywhere. But, you know, just one of those – you know, one of those interesting things the Spurs kind of do. I mean, I assume Manu Ginobili has to step up and play some more minutes tonight. And, you know, they're going to look for bigger contributions out of guys like Danny Green and Patty Mills. And, you know, oddly, they seem to get this. You know, when other teams can't get it, the Spurs can. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, and oddly,
you know, I
scheduling stops at Monday. They don't go ahead.
I did get a chuckle out of this, Dan. I'm starting to find out that Draymond Green is just kind of more of a clown than anything else. It was one of those things he mentioned in, I want to say kind of in an indirect way, that he was disappointed with the competition in the East. I believe his words were he thought teams would give the Cleveland Cavaliers a stiffer challenge in the playoffs. So when the media mentioned it, kind of ran with it, he kind of started ripping on them. And it was just kind of weird because it's like, dude, you know, we heard your quote. We read your quote. And while the media did get it wrong because they used disappointed, which he didn't use, it still basically translated to the same thing, didn't it?
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty funny when you listen to his response to all that. He's like, you guys wouldn't run with the fact that the Cavs are playing great.
Yeah. So I did get a kick. Yeah, you know, I did get a kick out of that. And like I said, he seems to be turning into more of a clown than than anything else. So I thought it was humorous, but you know, he's been on his podcast. I didn't realize. Well, I guess everybody has a podcast now. I know last week he called Kelly Olynyk a dirty player. Now let's not forget that Green did kick two guys in the man zone on three different times in last year's playoffs. And I believe he also got suspended for blowing on LeBron James. I don't remember the exact thing, but I don't remember him really doing anything bad enough to get suspended. It was just the NBA needed the series to continue on, and they needed Green out of the lineup. Oh, whoops, did I say that? Dan's the conspiracy guy. Where'd that come from? Then I know he had something last week as well. I forgot. He called somebody else out on something they did, and it was just kind of funny. But yeah, I'm guessing I haven't listened to his podcast. Maybe I'll have to break down and try to find it one of these days. But yeah, apparently he gets he's good at calling people out.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily go completely with a clown, but I think he's realizing the impact that his words can say. And the one thing I can't agree with, and I don't want to quote him, quote-unquote him, but I mean, he kind of said what you and I have been saying for a while now with a lot of these reporters. And, you know, a lot of them, basically his point that I took out of it was that you're all a bunch of headline grabbers. You find the most controversial thing that one says and then blow it up and that's all that everyone reads. And I thought it was funny too when he said, he goes, turn on the mothership. It's nothing more than a controversial reality show.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
I really
enjoyed that quote because he's right on there. You and I have talked about that how many times, they could just change the title of that to TMZ Sports and get over with it, except there already is a show called that.
Yeah. Just take over the network. But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it is the truth. You know, even when you get guys and, you know, I know Joe Buck does his best when he calls Cardinal games, but at least he admits to being a fan. You know, he grew up with that and his dad, you know, was their broadcaster for 100 years or whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're supposed to put out quality work and be non-judgmental, where I do think it's true that, what would you say, about 85% of them are just mainly doing it for headline grabs. You know, who can get the most tweets?
Oh, yeah. You,
who can get the most links?
Yeah, you could probably go more than that. So, yeah, you could probably go higher than that if you wanted to.
So, I mean, I really liked when he said that, and I think he's I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the guy, and you know, aside from last year is when I really got to learn who he is. But I think he's really understanding. That probably helps having a podcast. But what these guys, you know, what the media does and how they can twist things, and I'm sure, you know, and it's funny because this is an NBA thing. You really don't hear this so much in, you know, baseball, football, or even hockey. But I hear a lot of guys in the NBA that have podcasts, but it seems to me like the most controversial stuff always comes out of the NBA.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what, you know, maybe they're, because I think maybe they have the strongest union. Well, actually, baseball is pretty good, but, you know, maybe, yeah, because they have a strong union and they can be outspoken without fear of any kind of retribution for it.
Yeah, you're right, because the NFL here, you know, Marshawn Lynch, I'm only here so I don't get fined and all that good
right.
stuff.
Right, you know.
You're not allowed to, you know, and that's the one thing that, I mean, still to this day, I mean, I get it, I understand, but at the same time, I still don't believe that all the reporters and everybody should be in the locker room. I think, isn't that what the whole press conference is for? I mean, if I'm a major I'm a major leaguer, you know, NFLer, NBAer, when the game's over, whether I won or whether I lost, I want to go back there, take a shower, you know, sit there half naked, not have to worry about who's in the locker room, just kind of kick back. Okay, you've got press conference at this time. All right, cool. I'll do it. But, I mean, to have these guys in your face the minute, you know, when you can't even take your damn jersey off, you've got these guys with mics in your face, and then you got to go to a press conference too? I mean, seems a little redundant.
Yeah, if you're going to let people in a locker room, I think there needs to be a decompression time allowed for players. You know, I know every reporter wants that big emotional reaction. You know, and I'm really surprised more players don't do it. I mean, you know, if it was me, I would just go ahead and get undressed. You know, hey, this is what I got to do. You know, if you want to talk to me, great, but this is what's going to happen. You know, so it's all on you. I mean, you know, here you go. But, yeah, we need a line. I know everybody, well, you know, it's got to be open and everybody's got to see. I don't need to see anything, you know, like I didn't need Antonio Brown shooting Facebook video in the Steelers locker room. You know, that, I don't care about that, you know. I mean, I don't need somebody in the locker room 30 seconds after the game ended stealing Tom Brady's jersey after the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just, you know, you're not, yeah, you know, I mean, you're not, you know, you're probably, okay, you get the emotional response out of the guy, and then all that happens is, you know, all you're looking for is the negative. You're not looking for anything positive out of it. You get the negative response you want out of the guy, and then he's got to go through all the public relations BS of issuing an apology the next day or the day after, or, you know, after his people get it written up for him. You know, I mean, a lot of it, I think, has to do with the fact is you deal with people who have never played, you know, even at the lowest levels of the sport, or even if they did, they weren't very good, so they probably just sat on the bench. So they don't understand the emotional connection that goes on with something just happened. I mean, you know, if my team loses the Super Bowl, Dan, I totally understand why Cam Newton walked off. The last thing I want to do is give an interview after losing the biggest game of the year.
Yes.
But yet you want to talk to me about it.
And ask the same dumbass question, person after person.
Right. Yeah. Just in different ways to try to get you to respond differently. So, but while we are on the NBA, Dan, you got to help me out. Why the hell, you know, instead of the Washington Wizards, can we just call them like the Washington Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Because good Lord, man, I don't know what the hell team's going to show up anymore. You know, they got beat by 22 last night. So Boston took a 3-2 lead in that series. Now they get a day off before game six. But, you know, I was convinced that the Wizards were the key to giving the Cavaliers a challenge. Not saying they were going to win the series, but I really think they're the key to giving Cleveland any kind of challenge. But good Lord, man, why are they trying me, Dan? I just don't get it.
I think they're trying to prove you wrong.
it's mind-boggling. You know, I turned that game on last night. I watched it for about 5 minutes. I couldn't take it anymore. Like, now I got to turn it off. It's like, I can't do it.
Yeah, and I don't get it. And, you know, I'm surprised no one tried to insinuate anything from what Draymond Green said, but, you know, you can't just put words in his mouth. But, I mean, no one...
Oh, they could.
Well, yeah, you're right. But no one ever, you know, brings up the elephant in the room, which I'm surprised doesn't get brought up ever, as to why he, you know, doesn't come to the West and see how different it would be.
Yeah.
Or go to the West. We're not in the West, so.
Well, we could be.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, if we wanted to, we could just pack up and head out West.
On the road again. But, you know, I always think that would be an interesting point, but that's why I'd love to see him go to one of the LA teams next year and just opt out of Cleveland after they win the second championship. Well, they probably, if he won two, he'd probably stay in Cleveland to try to win three. So I don't want him to win.
Yeah.
Go to LA. So, get out of Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, you wonder, you know, what he ends up doing, you know, how that works out, and you know, to give us something to watch in the off season and be like, hey, what's going on here? And you know, then we can talk about that. So
we'll have to watch his, what was it, his manager was the one who bought property in Cleveland first. I can't remember if it was his manager or his agent. I forget who.
Yeah.
So if he goes, then we know who's going next. But I mean, even like you know, you mentioned it has to be just a matter of time, because there's that that game show I saw a commercial for. It's called The Wall. I guess, I don't know, don't quote me on anything. You're dropping a digital ball down the thing and you try to win money. I don't know. But you know, who's the executive producer of that? LeBron James. So I mean, he's definitely expanded his horizon. So you have to imagine it's only a matter of time before, you know, he picks up and just full-on moves to Los Angeles. Because like we've talked about before, and we're not going Lonzo Ball. His kids go to school in L.A. or California. So why not move there full-time?
Yeah, you know, it might be something, you know, you wonder the more, or if he gets more involved with movies, if that's something we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, because he would really need to be there.
Space Jam 2, right?
Yeah. You know, did they film that yet, or are they filming that, or I don't even remember.
I don't even know. You've got to wonder, though, if they heard what them talking about filming it, that Blake Griffin was kind of the runner-up to be the lead. And you've got to wonder if he's kind of fallen out of favor of that spot over the last couple of years. I mean, I don't even see him on TV as much as I used to. You remember, season before and last year, everything was every commercial, it seemed like, would have Blake Griffin in it.
Yeah, for a while there, yeah, he was all over the place.
You know, LeBron's kind of taking his back with Kia and Sprite.
Yeah, all IMDb says is LeBron James and several other NBA stars team up with the Looney Tunes for this long-awaited sequel. So yeah, they don't have anything about release date or any of that fun stuff.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even remember watching the first one. Yeah, I watched it. You know, and for me, I watch I kind of overwatch movies, but I think that was one of those movies I seen like twice. And I was a kid when it came out, and a Jordan fan, so you'd think I would have watched it a million times, but it was just one of those I didn't really get into, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it a couple times, but obviously it's been a long time. You know, and I mean, I had fun, it was fun to watch, you know, Michael Jordan, because obviously he was a Bull and, you know, all that other fun stuff that, you know, goes along with it. But, you know, yeah, you know, obviously it's for kids and, you know, that's who it's geared towards. So.
And it came out in the 90s. It's a long time ago.
You know, it would be interesting to see when, you know, 2 comes out, how it does. I mean, I'm not quite sure if LeBron James kind of has the widespread appeal that Michael had. You know, and I know the idiot ball, what's the father's name? LeVar? LeVar, he said Michael didn't charge $500 for his shoes because he couldn't sell them. Well, obviously, dude, you can't sell them either. So, you know, you just kind of need to keep your mouth shut. You know, sadly, if Michael would have charged that for his shoes, they probably still would have sold.
Probably.
You know, just one of those odd things. So, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. Like I said, I'm not, you know, I'm our kids big LeBron James fans? I mean, is that who they want to grow up to be? Or, I mean, are there more likable guys, you know, Steph Curry types or, you know, guys like that that might have been better?
I think Steph Curry still has the appeal. I know. Like, my nephew kind of fell out of his love of Kevin Durant when he switched. So, I mean, I think he may have lost.
Derrick Rose isn't starting it?
No. I mean, his team couldn't make the playoffs, so he came to watch the Bulls.
But, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what the box office rakes in and stuff and all the other fun stuff that goes along with that. Now, you know, Dan, sadly, I did not receive a FanDuel lineup from Mr. Fantasy today. I know, big disappointment. You know, his lineup yesterday didn't cash for me. I think it scored 148 points. So if you were in the right league, you might have gotten your money back. Or actually, I think it was 133 yesterday. I think the day before was 148. So, you know, possibly it worked out for you. I did manage to get lucky and win $3 in a late night league because I actually picked the right Dodgers. You know, my Ada had a fantastic start, and I had to save money on Chase Utley, and he actually put up like 23 points. So that all worked out for me. So I will take that. But, you know, we have some games rolling along. We actually have 2 finals already. I got to see the end of this game, Dan. The Boston Red Sox beat the Milwaukee Brewers 4-1. Craig Kimbrel got the win, and Natale Feliz took the loss. And then the Royals shut out the Rays 6-0. Jason Vargas got a win, and Jake Odorizzi took the loss. We got 3 games going on right now. We have the Astros at the Yankees. The Astros are up 2-0. We got the Orioles at the Senators. Oh, that's actually postponed right now. It's a rain delay. And then we have the Mariners at the Blue Jays. The Mariners are up 2-0. That's actually in the bottom of the first. The Yankees and the Astros just finished the first inning. And then rolling along real soon here, we got the Padres at the Rangers, the Twins at the White Sox, Dodgers are at the Rockies, the Pirates are at the Diamondbacks, The Tigers are at the Angels, and the Reds are at the Giants. Now, Dan, I decided I'm going to do another late night league tonight, and I'm trying to decide, do I go with Michael Fulmer of the Tigers against the Angels, or do I take the shot and go with Ty Black again, who was actually really good when I used him last time, but he stunk in his last outing, against the Reds, who can really hit, or would you take a chance on a guy like Bronson Arroyo or J.C. Ramirez?
Ooh. I don't know. I went with Phil Hughes and somebody else.
Well, that's the early one. Yeah, see, the late night one is nice. I've only got to deal with the Tigers and the Angels and the Reds and the Giants. You know, and for some reason, I have the feeling I think it's a good night to use Giants. You know, I think Bronson Arroyo is very hittable, and I think they have the opportunity to really put up some points. You know, I know they haven't been the best team, but I think tonight could be the night. So I was kind of staying away from Arroyo. But, you know, that still leaves me between, you know, Ty Black, Michael Fulmer, and J.C. Ramirez. So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out, you know, who to go with. I actually bet against the Angels twice last week, and they burned me both times. You know, I thought they had a really good pitching matchup. And while they did strike out a lot, I think I got 7 strikeouts out of one pitcher and 8 out of the other. The problem was they also gave up 5 and 6 runs. So, you know, it was nice to get the strikeout total, but I basically gave it back. So, yeah, I don't know how to work this out. That's my big quandary, is where to go with pitching.
Yeah, I honestly, I think you're right going against the Reds. Or was it the Reds? The Giants from Cincinnati?
Yeah. Yeah, the Giants are at home against Cincinnati tonight.
Oh, they went from New York to... That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, without a day off. They went back from New York back to San Francisco with no day off. The Reds didn't get a day off either. They were in Cincinnati, but a little not much, but a little easier travel schedule there.
Yeah, but you would have thought, being that the Giants were in New York, I mean, call me crazy, but it just seems only fitting that they would have gone to Cincinnati to play the series.
Well, I think they played, if I'm right, they played Cincinnati. They got swept over the weekend in Cincinnati and then went to New York to play the Mets.
Right.
So,
that's right, yeah.
It just kind of worked out that way, where they're somehow they, you know, whatever spit out the schedule, spit it out this way. But there is a really good pitching matchup, Dan, and I would probably stay away from this game because I don't know what side of it I would be on. I mentioned the Pirates are at the in that game. I was just like, man, I know – you know, Arizona can really hit, but Cole is really good. You know, I know his record doesn't really show it, but he's a talent. And, you know, Greinke's had some really good efforts this year. And it was just kind of like, man, you know, you could take one pitcher and the other guy could throw a shutout. You know, and it's just like, man, I can't get in on that game. I don't want anything to do with the pitchers. It's just like, man, I got to run away from it.
Yeah, I stayed away from
that. But all right, well,
I did go with Dylan.
Yeah, you know, I'll let you know how my FanDuel decisions go tomorrow. Dan will tell you how Phil Hughes did. But, you know, come back at 5:30 tomorrow. You'll find all that out. You know the rest of it while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Now, you know you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well, so hunt us down there if you need it. As always, it's a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.